Lutheran leaders. As we approach the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we take a brief look at the lives of influential and important Lutheran leaders and theologians. Alfred Adolf Heinecke, 1835 to 1908. What would you expect from a child born to a religiously indifferent father whose body, weakened by typhoid fever, made a military career impossible, who then chose the ministry only after being told by someone teasing a corpulent pastor, quote, "Look, Adolf, become a pastor, and then you will have a good thing," end quote. Who then studied in a school more known for its scientific methods than its Lutheran orthodoxy, whose father-in-law was a Reformed pastor, and who then turned to the Berlin Mission Society, which represented the, quote, "mild and moderate Lutheranism," end quote, of the Prussian Union, to be assigned a parish in America, and who finally was sent to an infant synod, itself still struggling to find its Lutheran bearings. This doesn't sound promising, does it? But God made Adolf, quote, "the one great theologian," end quote, of the Wisconsin Synod. How did God do this? He gave him a professor at the University of Halle, August Tholuck, who took pains to take him under his wing and nourish his soul and not just train his mind. Tholuck gave his students not only academic meat, but also valuable spiritual counsel. And seeing his gifts, Adolf had taught himself enough Hebrew in 12 weeks to pass the entrance exam. He encouraged Adolf to read deeply into Lutheran dogmatics. This Adolf did to his great prophet. Since there were no immediate opportunities for a position in Germany, he was willing to go to America, still hoping eventually to return for a position in the Prussian Church. He arrived at Milwaukee in the middle of our Civil War in 1863 and was called to a small congregation at Farmington near Watertown, Wisconsin. What a time of confusion! The Wisconsin Synod, only 13 years old, was associated with the General Synod, quote, "a hodgepodge of individual synods whose leaders fought each other to the death," end quote. And many of those leaders were quite unionistic. Adolf was able to watch the situation from the sidelines for a time, but only for a short time. In 1864, he was elected secretary of the synod and thus was thrust into the thick of the inter-synodical activities. Then he was made associate editor of the church periodical, the Gemeindeblatt, and was busy writing sorely needed, clarifying, and confessional articles. Next, he was appointed to a committee to screen ministerial candidates for the new school at Watertown to prevent unsuitable students from enrolling. Later, he was made dean of students at the school and was to teach theology. Finally, Heinecke became sole professor of the seminary and editor-in-chief of the periodical. He had been in the country just 4 years and was now only 31 years old. Heinecke was now in a position suitable to his talents and quiet temperament. And except for a few years, when the seminary was closed, remained there until his death 42 years later. As a professor, he was able to train up a generation of thoroughly Lutheran pastors. As a writer and editor, later also of the Quartalschrift, a journal intended for pastors, he was able to wield the powerful sword of the word throughout his fellowship and far beyond. He was in a position to correct the errors from within and to combat the errors from without. In an age when polemics were often harsh and cutting, he was, quote, able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, end quote, Titus 1:9, and to do so in a convincing but gentle manner. He was a reluctant warrior, combat ready in any debate, but, quote, a quiet, peace-loving man, end quote, fully armed, but never rejoicing in the fight. His greatest literary work, Evangelical Lutheran Dogmatics, was published by his sons after his death. Fortunately, it has been translated, and the author, who never learned much English, can now speak to us through these four volumes. Norman Grieve is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Evangelical Church in Iron River, Michigan.